Okay, so before I start this recording, I have kind of a funny story. As you do on a typical Friday night, my husband took my daughters and I to the pet store, or the animal center, as my daughter calls it. And we went to go pet some cats. We literally just went in to, like, see the animals. And we walked out with a new kitten. So that's in addition to the two dogs that we currently have. And our new tortoise that we got about 2 weeks ago. So my husband has officially declared that I'm no longer allowed to visit the animal center. So if you hear any background noise of, like, meowing, which I think you probably just did, that is who it is. And our cat's name is Mick Jagger, and my daughter actually picked it out without knowing the name, so I thought that was pretty cool. We call him Jagger, so that's Jagger in the background. So now I'm gonna read you my latest blog post called Stinkin' Thinkin'. Last night, when I went to drop my girls off at my parents' house, my eldest, India, got really sad. She tightened her arms around my neck and pleaded in her soft, twee, 4-year-old voice, "No, mommy, please, stay with me, mommy, no, leave me." I slumped onto the black and white 60s sliced pebble floor in submission as her arm slid down to encapsulate my rib cage and wondered what the right thing to do was. Stay there and have dinner with my family, or two, go to family group. It's not like my husband was even there to come with me to therapy session, so maybe I could just flake out. Or, a familiar voice said, option three. I could just sneak back home while my mom and dad have the kids and take a bath and binge on audiobooks and milky tea and maybe throw in some studying so I won't feel quite so guilty around my potentially fraudulent behavior. Decisions, decisions. I realized, whatever the resolution, I needed 10 minutes in my car to recalibrate the discordant dialogue between my ears. I gently peeled myself from my daughter's embrace while reminding her, in my slightly elevated getaway tone, that Uncle Judd and Uncle Joe would be arriving soon to see her, specifically. She lit up like a light. My cunning escape plan unfolded favorably, and I was allowed a brief interlude to pad out to my car, which waited in the driveway like the consequential chariot it was, determined to deliver me down one of three meandering roads I had laid out like a relief map amidst the contrasting contours of my mind. When I got to the fork at the end of the road, I went right instead of left toward group. My former self would have carried on instinctively toward the comforting isolation and indulgence of an empty home. I would have thrown a glittering pity party for myself and spent the rest of the night faffing around, trying to distract myself from those recurring manipulative behaviors, lacking integrity, coherence, and honesty to which I had succumbed once again. Then gone to bed with my dear old friends, guilt and remorse, who kicked and squirmed and offered nothing but a night of restless, fitful sleep. An all too familiar act in a play I knew the ending to by heart. Watching the scene play out in my head was incentive enough for me. The fire under my proverbial ass had been lit. I put on my blinker and took a left, then another left, then another left, then a right. One day I hope it sinks in that the straightest distance between two points is a straight line, but this would not be that day. My job was to be grateful for that small wisp of grace, and I was. In the last AA meeting I attended, my ears spiked up when I heard an old timer, someone with many years of recovery under their belt, made reference to his stinkin' thinkin', a term used to describe the old habitual thought patterns that earned us our seats at these meetings in the first place. The bubbles of cognitive distortion that cloud judgment and muddy the waters in which we tread and flail. The term caught me up for two reasons. One, it rhymed, which was equal parts annoying and endearing. Two, its backwoods drawl and homeliness represented the why component of the formula I had used to resist and refute this tribe and their prophetic mission for so many years. Oh, how I had misjudged these people and all their anonymous Arcadian brilliance. For they know like the back of their hand that the last thing the alcoholic addict needs is complication through intellectualization. The thickness of words dripping off the marrow of feeling and skinning us from the bones of wholeness. That's what I've been doing for more years than I'd like to admit, and guess what? It doesn't work. If it did, I wouldn't have earned my seat in the church basement. Just kidding. We don't have those underground features in our churches down south. But basement is more dramatic than storage closet or unremarkable above-ground meeting space. Overthinking, see above reference to basement, rationalizing, minimizing, aggrandizing, painting elaborate canvases with the richness of my suffering and the minutiae of my victimization did nothing but cut me off from my neighbor, my brother, a stranger. How fresh it feels to return to such candid and unifying concepts that bring us together rather than pull us apart. Because goddamn, does the world need more of that.